Welcome. This is the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thank you for joining us on this 40th anniversary of the March for Life. God bless you, good people, especially if you're listening to KFUO as you gather in Washington, D.C. by way of stream at KFUO.org. Man, I tell you, it's cold here in St. Louis, but in Washington, D.C., it's cold and snowing, and still they show up because the cause for life is, well, it's probably something, I don't know, Pastor Hawkinson. It's at one point, there is great delight in seeing the dedication of people who will turn out in weather like this 40 consecutive years in Washington, D.C., to march for life, to proclaim publicly and boldly that we stand for life and that Roe v. Wade, you know, shall not stand as the law of the land. Eventually, our hope is that that will go away. But then again, you have to look at, it's been 40 years, and the statistics run somewhere between 50 and 70 million abortions in 40 years.
It's beyond belief. It's beyond any imagination.
So give me some assurance here, Pastor.
Anybody
Hawkinson.
Could, well, I keep working toward it. You know, thousands and thousands of people headed for that march. It's an annual thing. One of our underwriters, Mid-American Coaches, has all their 90% of their motor coaches there in Washington, D.C.,
really?
Taking
yeah.
Christian groups there to for the march, which is today. So certainly something that we pray will be overturned, because that's murder. It's just plain murder. There's no other way around it. And those children have a right to live. And anyway, they're created by God, redeemed, and they need the grace of God. And not to have their life extinguished, so they have a chance to live.
That's Pastor Mark Hawkinson. You know him every day at noon, right here on KFUO. He is the host of Moments of Assurance, and then a little vignette that you do on Sundays as well, as you're off to middle service.
Right, 15-minute worship. Sometimes they're textually oriented, and other times topically.
Right,
but it's 15 minutes of fun for me. That's for sure. I enjoy it very much.
And you know what I'm going to say next, don't you?
No.
You
what
don't?
Are you going to say? Yes, I do.
What am I going to say?
Something about
next?
Your wife.
Is my wife's favorite program.
Thank you. And my wife tunes into the Bible study too. So and plus all the other and of course the other programs as well.
Yeah.
But she knows you by your voice. And
Now, it's been a little while since you've been with me on the program because, well, we had a Christmas break and, you know, some scheduling things.
Well, I was supposed to do the Bible study on Christmas Day, and then there was special programming on Christmas.
The church service kind of gets in the way, doesn't it?
That's right. Christmas Day, is indeed a special time. Well, I've missed it, and it's good to be back with you.
Now, I'm sure that if that congregation would have known it was your day, they would gladly have surrendered.
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah. Well, look what you get to do today. This is an exciting part of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. We get to talk a little bit about some distinctions in Lutheran and other theology, because this is where Paul commends to us that Christ should dwell in our hearts.
That's right.
That's right.
By faith.
So we're going to have to talk about, I put up a little Facebook blurb. I don't know if you saw that this morning.
You know
morning.
Why I didn't? I was driving all morning, and so I didn't have a chance.
Keep, don't do that while you drive.
Don't text and drive. Don't Facebook and drive either.
Now you've seen computers that have that little sticker that say Intel inside.
Sure.
Well, the little graphic I put up today said Jesus inside.
Oh, okay. Well, that was appropriate.
But the question is this.
Okay.
Before you can answer about the invitation business, you have to explain how he gets in there in the first place.
Okay. All right. We talk about that.
Yeah. You know?
That'd be good.
I mean, is it a painful thing? Is it an ecstatic thing? Is it an experiential thing? Is it all these different things?
All of the above.
All the above. Thank you. Wow.
No, it's not. Finally, it's not painful.
Finally, a unique Lutheran answer.
Yeah,
there.
No, not. Let me. I got a disclaimer. A disclaimer. Not painful per se. No.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, it could be the beforehand that there could be difficulties in the families and in situations and circumstances that could be painful. Put it that way.
Yeah. Well, as we begin this morning with prayer, let's remember the American tragedy known as Roe versus Wade. Let's pray that is overturned and overturned soon, and abortion is not something that occurs in our land. And then also, let's commend to the Lord's care and keeping all those folks that are riding those Mid-America coaches back from
They're
the
safe.
March for Life.
They're going to be safe.
Well,
I guarantee you there.
And then everybody else who's taking their lives in their own hands by contracting with a different company.
Thank you. Yes.
If you want safe travels,
boy.
Mid-America coaches. And
how much we owe you for that one.
Well,
I appreciate it.
You know, I don't make this stuff up.
No, it isn't.
That's the way
I'm
approach
just
it.
I'm facetious, yeah.
If I had to take a bus to Washington, D.C., it would definitely be.
Well, since 1927, safety. Since 1927. Mm-hmm. So that's... before my time.
So let's let's wish Godspeed to those folks who will be traveling home soon also from the march, and that they are safe while they're there.
All right. Gracious God in heaven, first off, I thank you for this opportunity to share the message of your Son getting into the hearts and lives of people through your blessed word and sacraments today. There's no greater joy for me, I know that. And thanks for each listener tuned in today and increase their faith and their love for you and their love for others through the broadcast today. Strengthen that inner man inside of us through the precious gospel message, which has the power to do that, so that we're able to live more for you each day as we grow for you each day, we pray. Also, keeping in mind the Roe v. Wade, the tragic Roe v. Wade decision, which goes back to 1973. Gracious God, through legislation, through the influence of people as they go to this march in Washington, D.C., also pray that the media would give a little bit more coverage to what's going on as well, gracious God. And we thank you. We ask in advance for safe travels for those that are still on their way, whether by bus or by plane or by auto, and of course, a safe return back to their homes once again. But influence the government, gracious God, and the appropriate people that this tragic, murderous decision of Roe v. Wade would be overturned, and that those babies that are conceived in the womb would have an opportunity to live a life out, just like each one of us has that opportunity. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Hawkinson. If you'd like to join us this morning, 821-0850 here in the St. Louis metro area, 1-800-730-2727 if you're anywhere else in the continental United States, even parts of Canada. Or what works from anywhere in the world, so long as you can get in touch with your email server, kfuo@kfuo.org, comes right here into the studio with Pastor Hawkinson and myself. One request to start the program. If you happen to be in Washington, D.C. right now,
yeah.
If you happen to be participating in the March for Life and you're sort of streaming this as you go along,
call us.
Tell your friends and comrades in the march to get all of their iPhones out. Turn on KFUO. Turn on the stream. Point it down Pennsylvania Avenue towards the White House and turn up the volume.
There you go.
As we
all
speak
right.
Truth to power.
Truth to power and power to truth.
Well, that's true.
It works
that's
both true. Ways.
We're going to be talking about power today because this comes into our discussion of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. We begin at 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is breadth, excuse me, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Oh, we've got a paradox here, it looks like. That surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And that is the text for today. Now, you're going to have to explain at the start here what a paradox is. Because on the one hand, Paul says, you ought to know this stuff. And then he turns right around and goes, but this stuff is unknowable.
Well,
go figure.
A paradox,
go figure.
Something that seemingly is true, and yet, interestingly, at the same time, the opposite is also true. So you've got two. It's like a conflict, but it's resolvable in Scripture here, believe it or not, what you just said.
So I asked a question yesterday.
It's resolvable.
How do you know what's not knowable?
Now we know in part, St. Paul said, but then we shall know fully as we are fully known. So that's that 1 Corinthians passage
It's no secret. I like Peter.
I fancy myself sort
of... You identify with them?
I identify with them.
Across
I see myself
the water?
Also, sinking.
No,
sinking. You know,
sinking.
You know,
okay.
Doubting, you know, saying dumb things at the right time and the wrong things, that kind of business. Now you can understand why Peter goes, you know, this Paul guy, he's okay, but tough to understand.
Yeah, I suppose, he was a fisherman, Peter, and I could see possibly him saying something like that.
And I mean, incredibly long sentences that he likes to write in Ephesians as well.
He's an orator.
He is.
Paul is, and in the Acropolis, I mean, he spoke and many, many heard him and listened, and I'm sure we're impressed, but Paul also talks about, you know, how he can't say anything without, you know, he's weak in speech and humble and all of that. So really, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me and all of that. So I think Paul, despite his oration abilities, nevertheless, had a tremendous humility as well.
As I said, before we get to the whole business of discussing the invitation of Jesus into your heart, which is so popular in American, you know, Christian theology, you have to explain, how does he get in there in the first place?
How does Christ get into your heart?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he doesn't get there by your making a decision. Okay, and let's take the Billy Graham Crusades, for example. That's, for instance, there's a man whom I admire. I do admire him, admire what he's done, admire his abilities. The decision, however, is... something that if you're going to get up out of your seat and come forward and you're making that decision, that's after the fact. The decision has already been made. What they're doing is reacting and responding to the faith that the Lord already has placed in their heart through His Holy Word. So they really haven't made a decision. They're acknowledging what's already been accomplished by God in their hearts through the gospel. You talk about the means. How does Christ get into your heart? He gets there through means, through the Word and through the sacraments. Lutheran answer there.
Well,
and it's the right answer. I mean, it's true.
If you're a fan of reading some of Luther's sermons, you will find that when he discusses the Annunciation, he talks about how Mary conceived. Now brace yourself, because it sounds strange if you've never heard this before.
All right, I'm listening.
She conceived through her ear.
No, I have heard that.
Because she heard.
Yes.
And then Christ came literally to dwell
you
know, inside of her for 9 months.
Boy, that's a neat observation.
So does he get into our heart the same way, through our ear?
Well,
in a sense.
So they who hear the word of God and keep it. There you go.
Yeah.
And you can't keep it if you don't hear it. So, you know, the preachers get up in the pulpit, they preach the word, the Holy Spirit works, and hearts are changed. Mm-hmm. But it's all God's doing. It's not man's doing.
See, you know, and again, I pride myself on being, well, pride, but I fancy myself being a bit of a theology wonk. I kind of like reading this stuff.
Oh, I know you do.
And,
yeah, you're good at it, too.
You know, it's just darn fun. You read some of Luther's sermons. Listen to sermons.
That's your problem. Luther's you do too much
sermons.
Reading.
You can't. No, I can't speak English, I promise you.
No, I'm just kidding. You think I don't do that in moments of assurance? I do. The difference is, if it's recorded, I can start over again. But you've got live radio. You have to live with the mistake you make.
But they're just darn fun to read.
Yes,
they really are.
And, you know, Luther changes in different parts of his life, you know, and he seems to sometimes contradict himself, but really he doesn't. I mean, the basic, you know, theology is there. He's not really contradicting himself, but he is, after all, human, just like you and I are.
Well, I mean, you know, some people like to ridicule the idea of Christ dwelling in your heart and that sort of thing, and how does he get in there? So it's worthy to take a few moments, I think, to talk about how these things theologically actually work. So God speaks faith into you.
Yes, and also in your baptism.
Exactly.
You see, your baptism, you have that union. Not the same union. I heard you talking a couple of days ago in the Bible study. I don't remember if it was Pastor Knorr or who it was that you were talking with. But you were talking about this whole issue of Christ inside the heart and everything.
Yeah.
And it is, he doesn't get there by your asking him into your heart. He gets there through means. And he gets there through the hearing of the word. You hear the word, the Spirit works, Romans 1:16. This word was mentioned, I think, yesterday, dynamis, which is the Greek word for power, Romans 1:16.
Where you get dynamite from.
Yeah, exactly. It explodes like it explodes in your heart, and it's something that God does. He's the one who converts the person. Conversion is 100% God's doing. You don't participate in conversion.
So it's like it's like an old building. He detonates it. It collapses.
Yeah,
and he builds
like that.
New.
That's right.
In the place of it.
That's right.
That's a good way to think about
it.
Yeah.
And
right.
So then in baptism, you have the water and the word and the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So then you have a union with Christ in your baptism, not exactly the same as the Father and the Son. That word was spoken about on one of the broadcasts yesterday here on KFUO, that homoousion is one of the same substance. And then there was a different word that was used, which means a similar substance, you know, and then those that were dealing with the Nicene Creed, they debated that, and it's not a similar substance. Jesus and the Father are one in the same substance. Yeah, and so, but not quite the same with the Christian, where we have a oneness with Christ, not in exactly the same manner, but we certainly have one with him.
Which is the better distinction to make about this text, that Christ should be considered an invited guest in your heart, or does he already own the building? Is he essentially the landlord?
Well, that's a very good question. Both are true.
Well, but here's what I mean. If you think about this,
he's the landlord. He owns you.
If
we
are bought at a price,
he purchased and won you on Calvary 2,000 years ago.
So he already owns.
Yes, he already owns you.
So he's the landlord.
He is.
Does the landlord have to be invited before he goes into his own place? The owner of the house?
No, but it's all one thing.
Yeah.
In conversion, that the person realizes their sin and rushes with rapid feet to the answer to get out of that dilemma. The wages of sin is death. Oh no, what am I going to do? Well, you don't do anything. The free gift of God. You don't do anything. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You receive it, but God even does that for you. See, and it's all
he's
doing.
He has to enable the means by which we receive.
That's right.
Yeah. So, what do you do with good folks, and you know, I mean, who genuinely believe that they have invited Jesus into their heart?
Well,
is that worth, you know?
I think you tread very carefully. You don't want to discourage them. You don't want to slap them across the face and say, well, that's a stupid way of looking at it. You know, you dummy, don't you know the correct Lutheran answer or something like that? Of course not. Yeah. You work with them. I mean, you invite them to Bible class. And you now, that's something you can use the word invite to. You can invite them to Bible class, to worship, to Sunday school, where they can get the teaching that is correct, namely that God is the one who comes in. And now there's in sanctification. There's a certain sense that he, you know, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And so, you want to ask that he would have a greater influence in your life, come in and have a greater influence in your life, which this text deals with as well.
If we go to Revelation 3:20, that scene where Christ is at the door, and
yes, that's just what I referred to.
Almost every church somewhere has got a picture of this.
It's famous, isn't it?
You know, Lutheran, non-Lutheran, you know, even in some, you know, Roman Catholic parishes, you might find this. Even maybe right alongside that picture of Jesus with a little lamb on his shoulder. You know, it's almost like it's a prerequisite. Yeah. If you're going to be a church, you have to have that hanging on a wall somewhere.
Yeah. I think, you know, I struck a chord, because I think it was in my bedroom when I was growing up, that very picture. Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Well, the question is this. You know, the Revelation is being written to the church at Laodicea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are people who are Christians. They're not seekers. They're not pagans. They're Christians. Not necessarily good ones, because, you know, the words that follow there in Revelation are not, you know, praiseworthy words, but they're still the church. So when you see this picture of Christ standing at the door and knocking, what is the correct theological understanding of that?
Well, I don't know. There are different ways of looking at it. I'm not sure that there is a solid correct one. You know, the self-study Bible talks about letting him come in and supping with you and eating with you, and that we take in his word, we take in his sacraments, and that we every day can be begun in that way, that in a prayer, just like we began the Bible study in prayer, that God come in greater measure. And another way of looking at it, of course, he's right at the door, ready to come back for his second coming.
That's what I was wondering. Is it more a representation of someone who has pushed him out and he is still offering, to restore the relationship?
I think both are true.
That's really the church at Laodicea is.
Right.
They're going through the motions, but they really don't have their first love.
I think there's a greater emphasis in what you just said than in the previous. Yes.
Because,
I agree.
Yeah, because once he is there and you push him out, he's not a fickle visitor. He will always return if you open the door.
You're treading on dangerous water if you turn your back on him.
Right, exactly.
That's the danger there.
So. I know. See, these things get so commonly represented, and you assume what they mean. If you really start thinking about it.
Well, I'll tell you how I look at it in my life. I look at it both ways, both that he wants to come in greater measure every day in my life, and I don't want to sup and have communion with him and sup. But there's something that bothers me about that verse from the standpoint, I don't know if I want to use the word bother, but it gets my attention.
Yeah.
And that is the suddenness. As lightning flashes from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Two things involved there, Roland. Number one, his coming is that sure. Number two, his coming is that quick. He's going to come that quickly. That's an adverb. I meant to use an adverb. quickly, okay? So you grammarians, don't worry about it. I know the right word there. But he's going to come quickly. And that gets my attention there very, very much.
See, I just see that representation as a call to repentance.
Oh, certainly it is. Certainly it is. Every day, we renew our baptism every day and repent of our sins. And what's God's answer? Repentance is answered with forgiveness and new life every single day.
Yeah, that's the prodigal son, the parable of the same thing there.
Right.
That came up yesterday in the discussion as well. So what often accompanies the idea that you have to invite Jesus into your heart? And again, in Ephesians 3:14-19, our text for today with Pastor Mark Hawkinson, Paul is commending that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that's sort of been the first point of our discussion this morning.
Well, I think there's a danger there that I have, over the years, had people come into my church when I was in a parish that they come from other theological backgrounds. And they'll come to a Bible study, and some of this language comes out. And then some of the lay people, they'll start, and it's good because they'll start discussing it in a loving manner. I don't mean in a hypocritical manner or any kind of manner that would be demeaning of any kind, but just to say, hey, you don't have to. You're not missing something in your Christian life by not inviting Christ when he's already. It's just like the bumper sticker that says, make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. The problem with that is he's already the Lord. You can't make him something he already is.
You can't make
him something. He's already the Lord. See? So it's a matter of recognizing it. That's faith. Faith recognizes it. Faith apprehends. So,
You mean like a cop apprehends a bad guy?
Well, it grabs you. The gospel grabs you, says, hey, this is what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. And how are you going to respond to that? I don't mean that legalistically, but just what's your reaction to the action? And that gets into the word agape in the Greek, which is defined as do we have time to talk about it now? Defined as a movement toward a beneficial action at the expense of personal sacrifice. I remember learned that back at Springfield Seminary. Springfield Seminary, which is Fort Wayne now. I was the second to last graduating class of the Springfield Seminary, so that dates a person, unfortunately.
Yeah, but you were the best class.
It was the best class. Not because of me. It's just a conviction that we had.
Pastor
there.
Mark
Kramer
Hawkinson,
Chapel. Kramer Chapel.
A humble man and proud of that fact.
Yes, absolutely proud of my humility. You bet.
This is the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. Why don't you join us this morning? 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. The email comes right here into the studio. Try it. It works great. KFUO@KFUO.org. When we get back, this is a prayer that Paul is offering up here in Ephesians 3:14-19, and it's a Trinitarian prayer. We'll have to point that out and examine that as well. Stick around. We will be right back.
Have you ever thought about becoming a worldwide KFUO Day sponsor? There are plenty of reasons to do so. Perhaps a birthday, an anniversary, celebration of a baptism, confirmation, graduation, any event. It's easy. Just call Mary or Joni at 1-800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524. And become a worldwide KFUO Day sponsor today.
Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth across the room to a speaker system in your home or listen on radios that have built-in smartphone cradles. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the clear gospel message of Christ crucified for our sins. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Epiphany season in the Christian church celebrates the spreading of the story of Jesus. Sing for Joy tells the story in music. Join us.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back. It's the Bible study on the messenger of good news. Worldwide, KFUO, Pastor Mark Hawkinson alongside this morning. You can hear him every day, Moments of Assurance at noontime here on KFUO Radio. Guys, let me tell you, if you're here in St. Louis, don't be selfish. Tell folks about KFUO Stream. Tell them about Mark Hawkinson and have them tune in. Have them stream from anywhere in the world. Pastor Hawkinson, Monday through Friday at noon, Moments
you know,
of Assurance.
What's exciting, Roland, is
don't
to
keep these
to,
secrets to yourself.
No, to be at a meeting.
Like John Lukumsky, he just walked by. He's here attending a conference. Twice, he hasn't even waved good morning.
Well,
I have to talk to him
that's
about
terrible,
that.
Isn't it?
That's two demerits from Lukumsky.
Two demerits, yeah. Okay. It's like, if you're up in Madison, Wisconsin, I was at a meeting there. All I did is pressed one button on my iPad, immediately, KFUO, and a live stream. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
And just no matter where you are. Florida, California, Alaska.
So if you follow us on Facebook, if you follow us by way of other means, share it with someone, especially on Facebook. You know, we put these little posts up every day about the Bible study and what you're going to hear and what we're going to be talking about. It gives you a little flavor of where the discussion is going to go. So it primes the pump so that if you have a question or a comment, you can get in it.
I got to tell you, you're quite creative on Facebook. I will certainly say that. Very creative. I just didn't have a chance to gander at it here this morning because
it's fun.
Being on the road.
It's fun because there's so many graphics that are available today.
Yeah. How do you do that with those graphics? How is that
it's
done?
It's a secret.
Come on. I got to find out about the old commercial?
Ancient Chinese secret.
Okay.
Well, they build all of our technology, so it has to be an ancient Chinese secret.
Okay.
Or 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. I mean, we could spend a lot more time on this, but we wanted to go through this study a little bit quicker than we did the study of Romans. And then you commended to me, I've been going back and forth. The next study, what should it be? Ezekiel. And you voted for
Ezekiel.
Yeah. Lots of imagery in that. Lots of cool stuff.
Colorful and lots of stuff to talk about.
Now I'm leaning back towards that side of it.
Lots of stuff to talk about.
Maybe one of those two. Hey, let's flip the coin. In the first part of the program, we talked about inviting Jesus into your heart.
Yes.
Okay. Let's flip that coin. How do I know that he's actually in there?
Well, I mean, you're not going to have some sort of warm, fuzzy feeling or anything like that.
Well, that would
some
be the Mormons,
claim.
I guess.
That's right.
The burning in the bosom, as they call it.
The burning
it,
of the bosom. No,
right,
you're not going to have
right,
that.
Right.
It's a conviction. What does Jesus mean to you? I mean, if you can say, no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, and the word in the original that means this is the only way that you can confess Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life is this way. And if you confess him, then it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that you've done so.
So that power, do I get a tingling sensation like electricity?
No, you just it's an inner conviction. It's what you believe.
Give me something.
Can't give you
give
anything.
Some,
I can't give you any kind of warm fuzzy thing.
I know that faith is about believing things unseen, but give me a little something to work with here. Can you turn my fillings
to
gold?
Where do you look?
Can you turn my fillings? Maybe
all
if
right,
I just start
let me
laughing
ask you this.
Uncontrollably.
When your back's against the wall, where do you look for help in
when
your life?
When my back's against the wall?
Yeah, when your back's against the wall, when you have no place else to go, where do you go for help?
Well, you know, you're not talking in a practical sense. You're talking about in a spiritual sense.
Yeah,
well, you go to God
right.
in prayer.
Yeah, well,
you know,
I lift up mine eyes to the hills.
Yeah, save me.
But what caused you to do that?
What caused me to do that?
Yeah, what why would you want to turn to the Lord in prayer?
Because that's the only thing
I
got left.
Did that come from you?
When everything, but no, I would hope not.
Okay. Well, see, that's how you know.
Yeah.
See, that's how you know that the Spirit of Christ is in you. Because where do you turn for help?
So that's
what
how I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's what
so it's not
comes
about
out of you.
Tingling or laughing or rolling or falling or getting drunk or all that sort of stuff.
Out of the mouth, confession is made towards salvation, the scripture says. So it comes out of your mouth. Whatever is in your heart and soul is your true life's goal.
And then you have
in
to,
Jesus Christ.
I guess you then have to take that and connect it back to chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9.
Yeah, it's totally by grace that you're saved through faith. So it's by faith that you know this. It's like you can't see God, you can't see air, but you know you're breathing it. You know air is there.
No.
You can't see God because he's in a different dimension. He's not in time or space, but he's still there.
Hmm.
And it's faith that God has given you that lets you in that he is there and that you believe that he's there.
So Paul is in prayer for the Ephesians. And as I mentioned going to the break, it's a Trinitarian prayer where you see Father at verse 14, you see Spirit at verse 16, and you find the Son in verse 17.
That's right.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
That's right. And that's neat. Yeah, Holy Trinity, all equal. And just different functions that are attributed to that. Father, preservation, Son, redemption, Holy Spirit, conversion and sanctification. But one God, just one God. That's the neat thing. Go ahead.
What makes my prayers more effective? Praying in the name of the Father, praying in the name of the Spirit, or praying in the name of Jesus?
You can pray to any one of the, doesn't matter. I mean, you can pray to, we're called to pray in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That's definitely true. But you can pray directly to the Father if you so desire. You can pray to Jesus. You can pray to you can talk to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, increase my faith today. So you can do that. And Father, forgive me. I know not what I do, we're guilty of sinning in thought and word and deed every day. And indeed, we have a Savior who has taken care of that for us.
Let's go to the phones. Larry's up first this morning. Good morning, Larry. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor Hawkinson.
Good morning, Larry.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing on this frigid, rather frigid Missouri day where the weather changes by hour, hour to hour?
Actually, I'm kind of down with a pretty bad cold. Couple things, though. I always read when we talk about the Holy Spirit and the indwelling, I always think of that verse. No one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And I would say that we get the Holy Spirit through our baptism. And it's and as Lutherans, we believe in the power of baptism to the extent where a baby can't make a decision. God made the decision for you.
Correct.
Through his word and water. And as far as, my mother always had that picture. I can remember it when I was a little guy. Had that picture hanging in the hallway of Jesus standing at a door.
Yeah.
If my memory serves, it was like in a crowded, the streets of Jerusalem, how the streets are narrow. But in Jonathan Fisk's book, Roland.
Yeah.
Another one of your references, I think it was either you or Nathan Metter.
Yep.
He says this. He says, behold, he stands at the door and knocks, but not with a to-do list. I think that's a great separation there between Lutheran theology and Reformed theology is.
Okay. I like that.
We don't have a to-do list. It's a to-done list.
Well, to that point,
it's all done for you.
Yeah, and
like you always say, Pastor.
What Pastor Hawkins had pointed out also about this, make him Lord of your life, that also comes out of Reformed theology.
It does,
and
yes.
That's part of that laundry list that Larry's talking about.
No, there's
about.
No check-off list.
Make him
list.
Lord of your life.
No,
yeah.
no check-off list, Larry.
No to-do list. one other thing, out of sheer boredom last night.
Oh, you get bored in the wintertime, maybe?
due to our cable provider's lack of decent programming, we ended up watching a movie called Elmer Gantry. Have you ever seen that movie?
It's an old black and white film.
Heard of it. I haven't seen it. I've heard of it.
Who's the lead in that? It's not Robert Mitchum. Who was that?
I can't remember. Who was the actor in that, Boo? No. Anyway.
Famous. When you look it up, you'll realize it's
anyway, the movie was produced in 1960, and it's about a woman preacher. And she's an evangelist. She does tent evangelism. But it brought up several interesting points about really how bad theology is in America. It's amazing that it's like snake oil salesmen. And they just, at the end of the day, they're sitting back there, they're counting their money up. But there was some interesting theology brought out. If you ever get the chance to rent it, I think it would be worth a review on your part, Roland. You're good at that.
Yeah,
that's why we love you, brother.
Thank you. Yeah, Elmer Gantry, 1960, starred Burt Lancaster, Gene Simmons, Arthur Kennedy.
There you go.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've got quite a memory there, Roland.
Oh, no, does. I've got the internet in front of me. That's what I've got.
Oh, yeah, you always got the internet. There you go.
See, no, I could have taken that, but no, I'll be honest with you. And it's the poster's interesting. It says it's this picture of Burt Lancaster reaching out through the poster as Gene Simmons in white robe is sort of looking prayerfully towards heaven. And she says, "You're all sinners. You'll all burn in hell."
Yeah,
actually,
I remember.
They actually praised when they would have these revivals. They would praise her more than they would praise Christ. It was like she was the mediator to God instead of Christ being the mediator.
Yeah.
It was bizarre. So anyway.
Larry, hey, get better. Take care of yourself.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks Larry.
For your call.
Thank you.
If you'd like to join us, 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. And you know, that, like the Elmer Gantry film, they don't make films like that today, really, that deal with these sort of theological issues.
No. Wish they did. No. Yeah.
Today you can't make a good film without an F-bomb or two. That seems to be
is that right?
Well, that's if you watch what goes on out there, that seems to be what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. The Trinitarian prayer, we covered that. But here's something that's really a curiosity. You talk about something that may be a paradox and hard to understand. Here is something that is hard to understand. Verse 15, from whom, this is talking about the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. So there are families in heaven?
Certainly. Well, there are saints in heaven. Well, you talked about saints, Pastor Knorr talked about saints the other day as well.
So there'll be in-laws in heaven.
Yeah. In-laws, you better get used to them. Get used to them now because you're going to be seeing them forever in eternity.
Really?
So get along with them now because when you get to heaven, you're going to get along with them. Because there's no division. You talked about no wall of separation between Jew and Greek.
Right.
Wall of separation.
So we're one big family.
Yeah, and that's right. And God knows your name.
So what is our family name then?
Christian.
Really?
Yes. Christian.
So we all bear a common name.
Well, I don't know how that works in eternity.
Well,
I haven't been there.
In a way,
only
like,
one person has come back. That's Jesus Christ there to let us in on that.
There's, I guess, if you want to take the metaphor, if we are the bride of Christ, what does the bride do? The bride bears upon herself the name of the husband.
That's right. Yeah. We have his name. Yeah. We are the Lord's. Yeah. We have his name. And we're saints. Saints above, saints below. And... we're taken care of both ways.
And on this 40th anniversary of the March for Life, something else that comes from that is the Father, I don't know, today it may not be as traditional as it used to be, but the Father names the child.
That's right.
That's the privilege to the Father.
That's
or at least
right.
It used to be.
Yeah, it used to be some time ago, right?
Yeah.
So, but you
I just want to say, when it came to naming me Roland, I think my father had nothing to do with it. This is only something my mother could have done to me.
Okay. So you're blaming her?
Yes.
Blame was nothing wrong. What's wrong with the name Roland?
Huh?
What's wrong with it?
A lifetime of being called Ronald.
Okay, Ronald. Okay. As long as you don't get...
Even coworkers, you know, Ronald, Ronnie.
Yeah.
No.
Live with it.
So you just go
well,
with it. Yeah.
You know what people call me? Hawk, you know.
Yeah, the Hawk. Well, that's good. Yeah. That's cool,
and nothing
though.
Wrong with that. No, I don't. So I don't mind that.
They would call me the Row.
That. Yeah,
the Row.
The Row.
The Hawk is cool.
Yeah,
the Row is just awkward. Right.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Why is it? It's just a one syllable. I mean, it's just a Row.
See, I like the name Christian better.
Okay,
I'd rather just bear that one.
I got it.
All right. If you'd like to join us again, 1-800-730-2727. Cheryl has taken advantage of that 800 number and is on the line with us. Good morning, Cheryl. You're on Pastor Hawkinson.
Hi. I was listening to the conversation that was earlier, but you just said something about the father names the child.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of Isaiah 9, verse 6, where the father names the child to be born as the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
I like all, you know, Cheryl, I like all those different names because they all mean something special, you know, in and of themselves. So I like I like the name Counselor, yeah. That's just my favorite.
So I see on the screen here you want to talk about praying and the sign of the cross and confidence.
Yes. You were talking about how, you know, having confidence in prayer. And I was reading The Spirituality of the Cross by Jean Edward Beath. And on page 60, he talks about bearing the cross and a man under the pastoral care of Pastor E-Y-E-R, Iyer, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, whenever the man would pray, he would make the sign of the cross, and he concluded that he knows that the cross, that's what lies at the heart of one's confidence in the Lord. So
certainly, that's true. It all goes back to Calvary. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant it. The job is done.
Yeah, I mean, Luther commends that, you know, to children, that if they should see anything dangerous or frightful, that they should make the sign of the cross and remember their baptism.
Yeah, that's right. The devil runs from the sign of the cross. The devil runs from the Son of God. That's for sure. And are you there, Cheryl?
Yes. Oh, thank you so much for your program. Thank you for the Bible study, and thank you for your program to... Moments of Assurance.
Thank you. And by the way, Cheryl, just a quick weather. Are you getting a lot of snow there in Indianapolis? Just curious.
I haven't looked out lately.
That's a good way to...
I think the storm's already... it's already gone past them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's up in the Northeast. Cheryl, another good call. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Glad
that's
that
a good way to
all those programs.
A good way to get through winter. Just don't even look out.
Only look out.
Just deny.
You have to deny.
Yeah.
Sort of like how we deal with sin.
Yes, that's what a lot of people do. Yeah. They deny it. That's right.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to, you know, there are a lot of people that will tell you that before Jesus comes to live in your heart, dwell in your heart. I mean, if you go to the Oxford English Dictionary, the word dwell talks about making a permanent residence.
Means to live. The word dwell means to live.
Live, yes, in that place.
Uh-huh. Right.
There are people that will tell you, you better clean the joint up before you invite guests over.
Well, the thing of it is, the guest is the cleaner-upper. In the case of being a Christian. Yeah, the guest is the one who does the cleaning up.
That goes to Larry in the list. That's, you know, clean up.
Yeah, well, that's something, but that's what God does.
Clean up your heart so that Jesus will want to be there.
Oh, no, that's not the right way to do it.
No.
Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, so that on Judgment Day, there isn't even a single bad thought that you've had that the God the Father is going to hold against you.
So Jesus takes up residency in my heart.
That's right.
What does that mean?
That means that he's Lord. That means that he fills, it's like a house, you know. When you purchase a house, you live in all of it. Yeah, you reside in the entire house. He resides in the whole house of your very being.
Right, because
he's
says,
your Lord.
You need to be strengthened. You need to be strengthened with power
in the inner man.
His spirit, in your inner being.
Yes, the inner man.
That's not cleaning yourself up. What is that strengthening then?
Well, the strengthening happens through faith in Jesus Christ, who is the cleanser. See, that's where the strengthening comes from, God's precious and holy word, the gospel message. That's how the cleaning occurs. And I'm going to tell you, anybody that says to me that their life is just going up, 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 grow with no going down, I don't believe them. Because the Christian life is up and down and up and down, literally hills and valleys, but those hills and valleys are going up. Okay,
yeah.
So in other words, you are being strengthened in the inner man as you get closer and closer to death. That's the way it is for me, being strengthened by God. You know, you have your challenges in life. I've got several of them myself.
Oh yeah,
but you know, you're strengthened in the inner man. God does the strengthening. Hills and valleys as you rise. hills and valleys as you go up.
And you know, when the weather turns like this out New Haven way, you know all about hills and valleys.
Yes, we live on a plateau. We're elevated.
Right.
Elevated,
so
indeed.
So you get to skate up and down those hills,
yes,
driving to and from work every day.
This is absolutely the last rear-wheel drive vehicle I will ever have in my life. I'm going to guarantee you that.
So is this dwelling, this indwelling that
yes.
Christ does,
mm-hmm.
is it a condition of being? You know, fish are wet. It's just a condition of their being. Or is it, let me see here. Would you say it's an experiential thing?
Do you
experience Jesus living in your heart?
There's an element of that.
There is.
Yeah, you had somebody call in that said they made a comment there.
They couldn't wait online, yeah.
Yeah, but they said it's okay for Christians to feel. I agree. It's okay for Christians to feel.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't place your trust in those feelings.
Yes.
Place your trust in the bare naked word of God and the sacraments. That's the location.
Because there are going to be days you don't feel like you're saved. And there are going to be days you feel like you deserve.
I had a parishioner come to me once, and he said, I just don't feel saved. And I responded, whom are you trusting?
Yeah.
See, that's what it boils down to.
Yeah. Yeah. Ultimately, that's true.
Yeah. Whom are you trusting?
And then Paul goes to this, all this inner strengthening and the indwelling of Christ is all for the purpose of being rooted in love. So that we can better comprehend the broad scope of what can't be comprehended.
That's right. That's the paradox. You mentioned it earlier, it is. Yeah. Yeah, rooted, just like a tree is rooted, when the roots go down, the tree is firmly fixed in place, and it's able to successfully draw up those nutrients for the growth of the tree and for the leaves and for the entire plant, the entire thing. As the roots go down for the Christian, the building goes up, the building of your soul, as you head for your eternal life goal, which paradoxically, you talk about a paradox, heaven is yours, and yet not yet. So both are true. That's the paradox of the Christian life.
Yeah, and this came up also earlier in the week about knowing the unknowable. Have you noticed that the more you study God's word, the less you really know?
Well, you know because more, you just realize how little you know.
Yeah.
You do know more. I mean, it's an ascending thing, but you realize it's not like the sophomore philosophy. The more you study, the more you know. The more you know, the more you forget. The more you forget, the less you know. So why study? I mean, there is a reason.
Theology is like a Russian nesting doll. You know what a Russian nesting doll is? Have you seen these?
I've got a Norwegian.
A Norwegian
doll.
Well,
a Norwegian, does that count? Norwegian?
Yeah, sure.
Is there any?
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Norwegians have some issues with the Russians from time to time. So,
My
mother's family is from the Baltic.
Really?
Yeah. So fantastic. It's something I grew up with, playing with these nesting dolls.
Okay.
The problem is you always get to the last one, but theology is like a never ending.
That's right.
Nesting doll. Just keep, every time you open one up, there's another one.
That's right. There's, you see, every time a person studies the Word of God, when they finish, there's an hors d'oeuvre for tomorrow. There's an hors d'oeuvre to come back to. There's a hook that gets you to come back for further study because you get excited about it and you want to learn more. And the sophomore philosophy is absolutely false, of course. The more you study, the more you want to get back into God's word. So
two parts of our text here today, family and with all the saints comes up. And that makes me wonder.
Right.
See, that when we talk about this, we think about Jesus indwelling us as an individual thing, but there's always a corporate sense. The word it takes me back to is the Old Testament word of God tabernacled among his people.
That's right. There is an element of God's people here, the church, the ecclesia, the made up of all the church, the invisible church being made up of all believers in Christ. The visible church, anybody that comes in and walks in, sits in the pew, and they're there. Are they a member of the church? That only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way.
And that word tabernacle, it connects
live.
To the
it
word
to live.
Dwell.
It, to
he
live, to
dwell.
Among,
literally in the midst of his people.
And Jesus tabernacles with us every day through our baptism and through God's precious word and through Holy Communion as the saints gather on Sunday morning to partake of the precious body and blood of Christ. They know that the invisible Savior is tabernacling with them.
With a few minutes left in the program, let's go back to the phones, pick up a call from Marilyn, who is in Granite City, Illinois. Good morning, Marilyn. Thanks for calling.
Well, good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
You know me well.
Yes, I do.
I'm listening all the time, so I guess you know me well.
I know you pretty well there, Marilyn.
I want to make a comment on the Seattle, you know, with their game the other day and how awful that one player.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah.
Well, did you see, and it was on the Fox cable network, where this group of Seattle players sitting around listening to this young man say, yeah, we'd all like to have the ring. But you know, the most important thing in life is our Lord Jesus. And I tell you, I was just, oh, thank you, Lord. And I also wanted to comment, I know you, KFUO no longer has focus on the family. But the last 2 days, they did have a woman from Granite City who, in fact, had worked at this hideous, evil place we've got here on abortion, and as a nurse. And in fact, one day, it came to her, this is wrong. And she and her husband transformed completely. And they now have a mobile, well, he has gone on to the Lord now, but have a mobile where they give ultrasound, and 90% of the women who come through that mobile do
wonderful.
Not get their abortion. And I just thought, you know, there was an experience very similar, or I felt at the time, of Saul to Paul. God intervened.
And
my blessings to you both. And you know how much I love KFUO.
We love you back, Marilyn. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Faithful listener, long time.
Yeah, from Granite City, Illinois, across the river there. Indeed. Yeah.
Well, here we are. We've got, about a minute or so left in the program, Mark. And I have to ask you this, Pastor Hawkinson. Ultimately, what Paul's talking about here is about walking. I know John writes more about walking.
Sure.
Than Paul does, but it's about walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, right?
Absolutely. The strengthening of the inner man by the power that comes from God. This is not anything within you. When you go there and you get it. And the paradox is we are to be filled with the knowledge of his glory, but you can only be filled so much.
Yeah. You know, in a way, you know what that looks like?
What?
It looks like thousands and thousands and thousands of people in the streets of Washington, D.C. in a snowstorm marching for life.
It can look like that, that's for sure. The length, the height, the breadth of the church, that the whole Christian church made up of all believers in Christ, whether Jew or Greek or Gentile or free, whomever, that's the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of God's church, and the length and the height and the depth, the breadth of his precious love in Jesus Christ.
That's Pastor Mark Hawkinson. If you enjoyed this hour, stay tuned. There is more Pastor Mark Hawkinson yet to come today at noontime.
Oh, no.
With
really?
Moments of Assurance. You don't want to miss this program. It is delightful.
Thank you.
One of the best that we have to offer.
Thank you. Trust me,
I know. Worked with Mark for several years. Great theologian. Moments of Assurance every day at noon, Monday through Friday. Also, again, if you're in Washington, March for Life, 40th anniversary. God bless you. Stay warm. Turn on your iPhone, turn on KFUO, and point it towards the White House, and turn up the volume. God bless. More great programming to come. Stick around.
Listen to the Bible study Monday through Friday at this time.
The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study programs at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.